Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Bob Kinzel, co-host of Vermont Edition. Just wanted to let you know that this has been edited for brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. This weather, from snow just a couple of weeks ago to record heat today, puts many of us in a summer frame of mind. Memorial Day weekend usually marks the unofficial start of summer and summer tourism in Vermont. Tourism brings in $2.8 billion a year, and summer is the busiest season for visitors to this state. But this year is, of course, very different. Many retail establishments aren't open at all. The restaurants that are open for service have major capacity limitations and have to be serving outdoors still for now. And some museums and summer attractions have already announced they won't be open at all. And there are some pretty severe restrictions on out-of-state visitors, including the need for a 14-day quarantine before they're allowed to stay at one of the state's inns or bed and breakfasts, visit a state park, or check out a museum that does open up. If they test negative for COVID-19 after 7 days of quarantine, they can go out of quarantine early, but that's still at least 7 days of quarantine. To try to help bridge the gap in revenue and at least keep some tourism-reliant businesses from closing forever, the state of Vermont is promoting in-state tourism. Last week, Governor Scott announced a plan to use $5 million in federal relief funds to promote Vermont to Vermonters. But will in-state tourism be enough? And should the state be promoting travel and tourism when many are worried about a second wave of coronavirus infections and older Vermonters still haven't been given the go-ahead to get out at all? And we're joined today by Vermont's Tourism Commissioner, Heather Pelham. Commissioner Pelham, welcome to Vermont Edition. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So can you just put what you think may happen this summer into context? I mentioned $2.8 billion in tourism coming into the state in the summer is our busiest time. So what are we potentially looking at in terms of a loss of tourism revenue this summer in Vermont?
Well, as you mentioned in the opening, this summer is not going to look anything like it has in the past. We have already seen over $300 million in losses in the travel and recreation sector of our economy. We generally rely on out-of-state visitors, as folks know, and it is not safe for them to travel at this moment. So the effects of this pandemic on the travel sector may just be getting started, so we know it will look different this year.
So $300 million already lost in revenue, you think?
Yes, and we're also looking at job losses as well. As you know, businesses are slowly starting to reopen, but we're still seeing over 20,000 Vermonters in the hospitality sector who are potentially out of work. Normally, there are about 30,000 Vermonters who are employed in tourism and hospitality in the state. And as much as we hope for those folks to get back to work as soon as possible, at the moment, with the restrictions in place, it's not possible yet.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no possibility that we're going to be able to make up the loss of that sort of influx of people coming in from out of state with just Vermonters even just shopping locally. And even given that Vermonters can't leave the state really very easily in the same way that others can't come in, you know, there are many states that have similar restrictions, so many Vermonters won't be leaving the state. But we can't make that revenue up just even within our own borders, right? I mean, even if we all spent all of our money in state.
That is a reality. And that is one of the greatest hardships for this whole pandemic is that everybody is suffering. I am talking to business owners and individuals every day about how much their lives have been changed by this. And so we understand that we are not going to be able to replace all of that lost revenue. But we also do want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to help our businesses survive so hopefully they can thrive another day. And that's where we do feel like Vermonters have a role to play in the recovery as to whatever extent that they are able to support the tourism industry, to be able to go out to restaurants, to shop downtown, to visit an attraction as it is safe to do so and as they feel comfortable with their own particular circumstances, either due to health concerns or financial concerns, whatever they are able to do. We do think that Vermonters have a key role to play in the recovery.
We're going to talk a little bit about the $5 million, the proposal for the $5 million in CARES Act funds to be spent on this marketing campaign and other ways to try to get the word out for tourism-related businesses in-state to Vermonters. But I just want to point out, because we're going to be focusing on that campaign, that that isn't the only way that businesses can get relief. And so we're not going to focus heavily on it, Commissioner Pelham, but there are grants and low-interest loans, and primarily grants, for all kinds of businesses. And tourism, businesses that rely on tourism, are also eligible to apply for these state-administered grants.
That's correct. The $400 million economic recovery package that the governor proposed last week includes a very large junction for financial assistance. And it's mostly targeted those businesses that were first to close and maybe the last to reopen. So as you mentioned, there's a grant component as well as loan options. And the program has been structured so that businesses of any size would be able to qualify. There are additional details on the Agency of Commerce and Community Development website for folks looking for additional information on what has been proposed so far. And I would just note that it is a proposal at this point and does need to go through the legislative process for approval.
Listeners, we'd love to know what you're thinking and what your plans are. You can just tell us what you're thinking about doing this summer, but you can also ask a question of Commissioner Pelham if you have one. And if you want to talk about this mental gymnastics that so many of us are doing to try to weigh our desire, A, to get out and have a break and maybe have a little bit of a vacation, with B, the desire to stay safe, and then C, the desire to support our local economy. But for many of us, money is tight and maybe getting tighter. And so, you know, people are trying to think really carefully about how and where to spend their money, even with that desire to get out and about and support the local economy. Ro Jenny tweeted us to say, we are camping at Vermont State Parks this summer because it's local and affordable. Don't spend money on in-state marketing. We already know our amenities. Give that money directly to small businesses instead. Obi Don tweets, we are lucky enough to have a stable income, so we've started driving around the state more and seeing some outdoor natural features, things we've been meaning to get to for years. I've been recording them on an old tourism map, but we aren't really spending more money. We are buying gas and maybe some takeout food, but that's about it. We actually made a switch, and we're using this for the Vermont component of our kids' home study. We still don't want to go inside places, but would visit low-touch outside things like Vin's new canopy walk if it opens. Kelly writes in to say, we canceled out-of-state camping. We'll camp in Vermont. Every week, we order takeout from different local restaurants and order curbside from local businesses, bookstores, and gift shops. I love a campaign that appeals to locals and remains relevant in the future, profiles towns and local businesses. And here's Donna calling in from South Burlington. Hi, Donna. Go right ahead.
Hi. Well, the previous person mentioned about camping in Vermont, and I've been trying to figure out from the state website for state park campgrounds which of them allow trailer camping, and which ones are actually, you know, are any of these open for overnight use?
And you mean open now, Donna?
Yes. It's hard to figure that out from the website whether they're actually open for overnight use.
Yeah, Donna, thanks. So, Heather Pelham, I know you're not and our Secretary Julie Moore, who might have more of that sort of granular knowledge of the state park and campground activity, but what can you offer to Donna?
Well, I can tell you that the plan right now for Vermont State Parks is to open on June 26th for overnight camping, and I would encourage folks to look at their website, vtstateparks.com, which will have all the information on amenities, at different campgrounds, as well as information for day use. Because one thing for folks to keep in mind is that even though the campgrounds are open, camping, like everything else, will look a little bit differently this year. And so you won't necessarily have all the amenities you might be used to at a state campground. And even right now, there are day use areas that are open. And I would, again, encourage folks to look at the website before they travel to see what the restrictions are. But just for instance, there will be no restroom facilities, and so people will need to plan ahead as they plan to get out. But I couldn't agree more with the callers to say that camping is a wonderful tradition, pastime to enjoy over the summer in Vermont.
And so for someone like Donna who's doing trailer camping, is that going to be clear on the websites which campgrounds allow trailers?
I would look at the Vermont State Parks website, and then we also do have private campgrounds in Vermont. So there is a private campground association as well, which would be another great resource to check out.
Do you know if, and Heather, again, sorry to put this one on you, but do you know, are private campgrounds allowed to open earlier than June 26th? That is the expected date for the state park campgrounds to be open for overnight visitors. Are private campgrounds allowed to open earlier?
Yes, thank you for asking that. Private campgrounds were actually allowed to open on May 22nd. So those campgrounds are now open. They are under a 25% occupancy limit, so there will be limited space. But this is the same process for a phased reopening that we're seeing with other industries. So hopefully, as the conditions and the data prove out, we may be able to see a loosening of those restrictions on occupancy limits as soon as we are able to do so.
Dave, Reggie, and Justin of Heartland wrote in to say, we decided to use the money from our canceled vacation to purchase glamping gear for our first time ever backyard glamping vacation experience. Our neighbors with a lot of acreage have offered their yards for our new glamping experience. This might be our biggest adventure yet. And Commissioner Pelham, I mean, that sounds like a great way to stay local and stay safe and to have an adventure. But from your perspective as Commissioner of Tourism, that's not going to put money into the state economy necessarily. Now, maybe the glamping gear was purchased locally. But, you know, how are you weighing the needs of Vermonters to do things that keep us happy and active, but also safe, with that need to try to, you know, keep some money flowing?
Well, one of the components of the economic recovery package is consumer stimulus. And I think that speaks to your question, understanding that folks, if they have that little bit extra to spend and they can buy that glamping equipment, great. You know, if they are able to go to an attraction or go buy a meal out, wonderful. But there is the largest component of the economic recovery package related to marketing is for consumer stimulus. And so when we say that, we're thinking of programs like gift cards, for instance, where businesses would sign up within their region to be part of this program. So that would be the types of businesses that we're really trying to funnel money into, retailers, restaurants, lodging properties, and so forth. A consumer might buy a gift card worth $25, but through the stimulus, that would actually be worth, let's say, $75. So that additional money goes directly to the business. It makes it more affordable for Vermonters to support those local attractions and so forth. But it also gets people back out again. So it's when we think about the recovery package, there is the financial assistance to get businesses open, and then this consumer stimulus to hopefully get folks back in the door doing what they can. So that's the thinking behind it, is that let's get some more money into the pockets of Vermonters to get right back into those small businesses.
And so that consumer stimulus, that's within this $5 million campaign?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's right. Part of it. Because people like Rachel wrote in and said, tourism marketing, unless you're trying to pull in people from out of state, is a waste of money. If you live in Vermont, you know what's in Vermont. Duh. So it's not just marketing to Vermonters about Vermont. It's also, as you said, doing that extra money stimulus kind of incentive to get out there.
Exactly. The bulk of the money is proposed to be for this consumer stimulus. There is a component of it that is also for a promotional campaign. And that's to let Vermonters know what there is available in their state. A lot of Vermonters may have explored the state top to bottom, but we still think that there are ways that we can show people all the hidden gems they may not have discovered yet, and really encourage people to do that responsibly when they get out and about.
I want to ask you more about that, because that seems to be one of the biggest conundrums for me, is how are we supposed to get out and about and visit these attractions in Vermont while also maintaining social distance, while also keeping track of who we're coming into contact with and trying to be really conscientious about not potentially spreading a virus even if we're asymptomatic. So we'll talk about that a little bit more in more depth in a little while. But Linda wrote in on what you're just talking about, Commissioner Pelham, and said, has the governor considered vouchers, like $50 to each Vermonter to try an in-state motel, hotel, B&B, or campground? Or a larger voucher to cover 50% of a hotel or motel cost? Or maybe a second or third night free or other incentive funded by the state? So that's what Linda's thinking, and it sounds like she's on the same page that the state is, but could you describe a little bit more how these might actually work? Is it up to the industries and the businesses to figure out how they want to plan these incentives, or is the state sort of making up a plan?
Well, those are exactly the kind of ideas that we had in mind, thinking about this consumer stimulus grants. And what we are envisioning is that the regions of the state will come together to decide what is going to work best in their particular area, because we understand that a program that might work well in Chittenden County may not be the same one that's going to work well in the Upper Valley or the Northeast Kingdom or Southern Vermont. So the state has planned to go through a request for proposal process, which is basically just to ask the greater community what ideas they have for consumer stimulus and how we might be able to track exactly how effective they would be, so that there are different options for regions to consider as to what program might work best for them. So that could be a gift card program, like I mentioned. It could be an incentive to businesses, as the caller mentioned, that would make it less expensive for Vermonters to support those businesses. So we're really looking to the regions to come together with one proposal as to what they think will work best for them, with the local organizations working together to come up with that proposal. And then we'll go from there.
Let's go to Betty, who's calling in from Hanover, New Hampshire. Hi, Betty.
Hi. I'm wondering where people are supposed to stay if they come into Vermont to go to an inn or an Airbnb for 2 weeks. If they don't have relatives to stay with, where do they go?
So, Betty, you mean for this 14-day quarantine when
yes.
you get into the state, mm-hmm. but before you're allowed to be at a hotel or a campground? Commissioner
exactly.
Pelham, yeah, Betty's question is one that a lot of people have.
I will admit it's a bit of a conundrum, but the fact is we do require folks from out of state to quarantine in state before they can stay at a commercial lodging establishment. So the options are limited. Family would be one if that was available to them. If they have a second home, they could also quarantine at home there, just like anybody who might be a Vermont resident who's been out of state coming back into state, in state, they would do that quarantine period at their own home. We do understand that that's very limiting, but that's the public health situation at the moment.
I mean, you know, it seems like the state is at pains not to say it, but what you're basically saying is don't come. If you're coming from out of state and you don't have a home here or friends to stay with, you can't come.
Right now, we cannot have an open invitation. That is correct. I would say that's for everyone's safety. I mean, that's for the folks who might be traveling as well as for our residents. And we really have to follow what the data is telling us and looking at not only the infection rates within our state, but within our neighboring states. These are the visitors who normally come to spend time with us in the summer. And we really have to keep the health and safety of Vermonters as our top priority.
Betty, let me ask you, you're calling in from Hanover, New Hampshire. You know, do you understand the reasoning, even if it's not something if you wish you could be here, but is that a policy you agree with?
The thing is, it just doesn't make any sense to me to expect people to come to an inn or an Airbnb and quarantine for 2 weeks if they have no place to stay when they get to Vermont. I understand if you have friends and relatives, that's fine. Or if you own a second home, that's perfect. But how are people going to come who don't have those conveniences?
Yeah, and I think the answer, Betty, is they can't. They're not supposed to come to the state if they don't have a situation where they can quarantine without being in contact with the public. And, you know, that does seem to be the state policy for now. We were hearing earlier today in the governor's press conference, the state is really looking hard at what's happening in some of the surrounding states to try to figure out when and how to open up. But it seems like the bottom line state policy right now is if you don't have that situation, you can't. You know, that is the way that it's been set up. And before we go to our next guest, I want to double back on something that we heard from a listener earlier who they were saying that they're going glamping this summer in a neighbor's backyard. And we got a note from Devine who says, could you please tell us what the heck glamping is? Thank you. So glamping, as I understand it, is glamorous camping. So it's not rustic. You are maybe having a really comfortable cot in your lean-to or your big car camping tent. You're not carrying in and being really rugged with your camping. So that's my understanding of glamping. Those of you who have more experience with it can share on our Facebook page a little bit more of what your glamping setup might look like. And let's go to Dan, who's calling in from Burlington. Hi, Dan. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you? I run a local tourist attraction, the Ethan Allen Homestead Museum. And just wanted to say, like, we're planning to open on a limited basis July 1st, just to we're going to be offering tours 4 days a week. And we've been doing quite a bit of planning so that proper social distancing, PPE is being worn, and that we can look out for the health and safety of our guests and our staff and volunteers. So we are definitely a backyard vacation option for people who are still looking to learn a little bit of history.
Well, that sounds great. Ethan Allen Homestead Museum opening up with some safety protocols in place starting July 1st. Dan, thank you very much for sharing that with us. And let's talk about other places that rely on tourism and that are working to open up. Lots of Vermont's cultural institutions really struggling right now, some deciding they can't open at all, some museums really looking at what could be possible a little later in the summer. The Montshire Museum of Science in Norwich sits right on the banks of the Connecticut River and looks over at Hanover, New Hampshire from its spacious outdoor spaces, and it relies on visitors from both states and beyond. But families aren't yet allowed to recreate across the border from where they live without first quarantining, as we've been talking about. So what's the Montshire going to do if and when it opens this summer? Marcos Staffney is the museum's executive director. He's on the line with us now. Hi, Marcos. Nice to talk with you.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So what is the situation at the Montshire? You're not open to visitors, obviously. What are you thinking?
Right now we've been joined by a number of other science centers in the state to really collaboratively look at how we might reopen and work with the governor's offices to think about what is a safe trajectory for us to do so and how we might do that. So we're all looking towards the beginning of July, just like we heard with Ethan Allen. You know, science centers vary widely in the state. For the Montshire, we have 110 acres of outdoor space. So according to certain recreational guidelines, we can open up right now. We have retail spaces. We have camp spaces. So under various different guidelines, science centers or science museums throughout the state have opportunity to do that opening. And we're looking forward to some more guidance from the governor's office in the next coming days about interior spaces.
How much of your... You know, how many of your visitors basically are coming from New Hampshire or other states versus how many are from Vermont?
It's tough to say. We have very wide distribution between New Hampshire and Vermont. And then for the sort of larger New England area, it's less so. But I would say that it's about a 50-50 split between Vermont and New Hampshire. And I would say that the Upper Valley is in sort of like netherworld of rules right now when it comes to being in one space or another. We've asked like every medical professional about, well, you know, my personal doctor is in New Hampshire. So if I'm going to go to the doctor, I have to go to New Hampshire. I have to cross the border 5 times a day. So we're all sort of like living in a sort of nebulous moment of how people can go to different places to visit or recreate between the two different states, especially when you live less than a mile. The museum is 0.09 miles from the border.
Right. Just swim across the river.
That's true. Right. Well, the river actually passes through us, owned by New Hampshire. So
swim to the river and get across the other side.
Yeah, it's really complex. And I don't envy anyone who's trying to make like hard and fast rules about this. You know, we're all studying it and taking as much education as possible and relying on our own resources. Together, the science centers have put together this consortium called For Science Vermont. And in doing so, we've really looked at like, how do we move a lot of our efforts digitally and in media, but at the same time, how do we support each other in figuring out all of these rules and reopening?
Do you think the Montshire can survive this?
Yes, absolutely. I think we have the most amazing and loyal supporters on both sides of the river. And, we have our sights set on knowing that we'll have some really tough, let's say the next tough 18 months, but, you know, sort of trying to get back onto a trajectory for 2022. It's sort of weird to put your sights on that kind of horizon, but we're often looking that far out into the future as a museum, thinking about like, what does our 2022, 2023 look like? And I think that, you know, we're well positioned and well secured to like make it through this.
Marcos, you just redesigned your play space for the youngest of visitors. And I'm so frustrated that I'm not going to get a chance to see it anytime soon.
Yeah, our joke is that opened on leap day this year, and we expect it to open on the next leap day. So that that is like smack dab in the studies that we're doing right now, which is how do you create an experience in a very hands-on and tactile environment that is no touch. And so I would say that Wonder Woods, which is the experience that you're talking about, our newest space for early childhood learning, is probably not going to reopen in its first phases or in our first phases of reopening. So we're really looking at how do we create our experience to direct everybody outside, which we have 3 miles of trails, amazing things to explore and learn outside. And so in the summertime, that's generally where people are at anyway. And knowing that we're going to have to limit the flow of visitation, knowing that we're going to have to track everybody who comes in, have to have online ticketing, all of these things are going to make people feel hopefully safer in terms of coming in. We're also learning so much from our colleague museums who are opening up in the South and across the world right now. So I think we're going to be really well placed to make a safe experience for visitors as they come back. But we know full well that not every experience that we have is going to be easy to recreate in the space. And early childhood experiences are one of those.
That's Marcos Staffney, Executive Director of the Monchar Museum of Science in Norwich. Thanks, Marcos, and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Now, Vermont's lodging industry is also really suffering and unlikely to see a ton of relief this summer. So let's turn to someone who relies on that income. Valerie Sedano is the owner of the Timberholm Inn in Stowe. Hi, Valerie. Nice to talk with you.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So you obviously haven't had anybody be able to stay at the inn for a little while now. Reservations are open for a little bit later. Are you seeing anybody ready to stay?
We have retreats in the summer that we're hoping to host still. And so some of those reservations have come in as people are thinking about the retreat and looking to book. But I closed on March 12th, and I've gotten maybe 7 reservations in total since March 12th to today. And, you know, still continuing to get cancellations, unfortunately, as people plan ahead, especially in the fall, and as they're considering, you know, getting on an airplane and if they want to travel to the States from overseas, because a lot of our guests are, you know, they come for fall foliage and they are from all over the world. So they're just, you know, they're still hesitant, but, you know, hopefully most of them will hold on to their reservation.
If they don't, or if you don't see a large influx, what about you? Are you going to be able to survive this? Is the Timberholm Inn going to survive?
I hope so. You know, I'm still pretty optimistic that we are going to see an uptick, hopefully, you know, as people start thinking of 2021 and winter and ski season. And if we can continue to get bookings and being able to take deposits, deposits can help a great deal. It's not just the reservation itself. It is the initial deposit which holds us over and which allows for revenue to stream in as, you know, we have slower periods of time. And that's probably the one thing that's hurting me in my business the most is just, you know, in April, in May, it's fine if we're slow, but we are usually taking deposits that help pay the bills during the slower months.
Valerie, let me ask you, we were talking earlier about the requirement that people coming in from out of state quarantine for 14 days before they go to a Vermont hotel or before they go out and about. And again, I want to reiterate, because this is state policy now, that you can, if you quarantine for 7 days and then you go to one of these pop-up sites for asymptomatic people and you test negative, you can end your quarantine early. But it's at least 7 days, and it's 14 days if you don't have a negative test. But my understanding is that that is a self-certification. So are you concerned at all about people coming in from out of state and maybe lying about a 14-day quarantine?
I think about that quite often, you know, because I think there's only so much that you can truly ask a person who's paying to stay at your property, especially because when you're at a bed and breakfast, you are in close proximity with your guests. The experience is very hospitable. It is meant to be very social. So I want to keep my family safe. I have a 7-year-old, you know, and I have a husband who works at home. So there is a lot of back and forth on, do we open up and kind of just make sure that this is a very safe haven for guests, even if maybe some of them are lying, or do we just continue to hold out for a little bit longer until the regulations are lifted? And, you know, I go back and forth with this quite often, you know, with my business partner slash husband, and we don't know the answer quite yet.
Valerie, Stowe is obviously a community really built on out-of-state tourism and an influx of money from people who maybe don't live in Stowe all the time, all year round.
Yep.
Are you working with other restaurants and inns and other businesses in Stowe that really rely on tourism to come up with a plan or do what we were talking about with Commissioner Pelham to think about incentives to get Vermonters to the area?
Yes. I have conversations with colleagues quite often just discussing how are you going to manage your bed and breakfast. There's, I think, maybe four of us that are all about nine rooms that all serve breakfast in the morning that just don't do a continental, but they do a full serve, you know, daily breakfast. And we're trying to figure out ways to make all of this work. I'm working with the Stowe Area Association as well to consider what options we have as people do start considering to book. I haven't had many in-state Vermonters book yet. I think, you know, we open fully June 15th, or we're supposed to be opening June 15th if the governor doesn't push back any of the regulations further into the summer. And so we're trying to understand what our opening will look like, and it will be soft. We are going to do incentives more or less around the idea of welcome back to Vermont or welcome, you know, welcome to the inn versus giving them a full off discount so that we can kind of just make some money in return versus discounting our product, which we think is very high value.
Well, good luck to you. I wish you the best of luck and keep us posted on how it goes.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
That's Valerie Sedano, the owner of the Timberholm Inn and Stowe. And we're going to hear from more of you as well as more with Tourism Commissioner Heather Pelham as we look at the fallout of COVID-19 and the stay-home orders on Vermont's tourism sector. Let's go to Edward, who's calling in from Bradford. Hi, Edward. Go right ahead.
Hi. Just wanted to make a couple of quick comments and a question, actually. I'm a transplanted Vermonter of 5 years now. I'm actually a nurse and have worked with infectious and communicable diseases for 15 years. And I know that the tourism industry in Vermont is literally into the billions of dollars on a yearly basis. I don't think that we can expect Vermonters to actually generate that kind of capital off of in-state tourism. I'd like to know the commissioner's response to that. And also, I don't hear a lot of news outlets speaking about this, but the CDC, I think in the last 72 hours or so, has actually revised its policies and comments in relation to the disease itself living on surfaces such as stainless steel or cardboard. They've actually kind of rolled that back and said that, you know, as far as communication of the disease, that it would be from person to person. And also, of course, with testing, we're going to have increased cases, but I don't think enough emphasis is put on the fact that we don't have the deaths. We have states such as Georgia, Texas, Vermont, Florida that are opening up with less restrictions. And as Vermont, we don't have anywhere near the number of cases that, or deaths for that matter. That
yeah, Edward, I hear what you're saying. And let's put that to Commissioner Pelham. And on your question about the CDC guidance on surfaces, I've been reading about that too, but I haven't had enough time yet to look into what that new guidance actually states. But it does sound like there's some revised guidance that suggests that it people are less likely to contract COVID-19 by touching surfaces, although it's certainly not no risk, and that it is more likely to be person to person. So we won't get into that medical research today too much. But Commissioner Pelham, on this question of, you know, other states are opening up more than us, you know, what's the thinking and why couldn't we do that a little bit more?
Well, one of the dynamics that we need to recognize is that our normal drive market, as we call it, that's so the New England states, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, that represents 75% of the visitors who generally come to our state. And those states are seeing you know, high infection rates and death rates. And we're looking at those data points as well as what we're seeing in state. So we have to remember that, you know, Vermont is not a bubble, and we really need to look beyond our borders, especially when we're thinking about tourists and out-of-state visitation. And that's really why we have to think of this in a big picture. And I would be happy to address the caller's other point in terms of, you know, do we expect Vermonters to be able to fill all the revenue holes from what normally would come from those out-of-state residents? And the answer is no, not in the long term. And we really look forward to the day when we can absolutely welcome out-of-state visitors back. But we're really thinking also, what can we do in the short term? How can we make sure that our museums and our lodging properties, the folks you've just heard from, that those institutions are still here to live another day? How can we get them to survive through the short term so we maintain that infrastructure of attractions, restaurants, anything that a visitor might want to do when they get here, so that all of that still exists when we're ready to welcome them back again?
Let's go to Eva, who's calling in from Johnson. Hi, Eva. You're on the air.
Hi, Jane. Good to be here today and talk with you guys. I just figured I'd share my perspective with how we've been handling the tourism or non-tourism season, I should say, with our electric bike business.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, yeah, just to go, I mean, I thought I'd offer our perspective, just hearing what other folks have to say. And, you know, our season officially begins mid-June. We're certainly noticing an uptick in local interest in sales, bike sales. So our bike sales have been going really well. Obviously, everyone out there is looking for something new to do. And so we've seen encouragement in our, as most recreational industries, in sales have with equipment. So what we're trying to do at this point is look outside the box and market our business to Vermonters and try to help them come up with something they haven't thought of yet on our electric bikes. So we have a pedal assist electric bikes. They can really take any passenger, the distance. And so we're pretty encouraged on the local level at this point with the interest we've been getting already before our season has begun with, like I said, Vermonters interested in trying something new.
Well, Eva, that's so cool. I appreciate hearing that. And e-bikes, yeah, you don't need to be an out-of-stater to check out an e-bike and maybe try a new part of the state. Thank you for telling us about that. If you want to post to your e-bike company, or if anybody wants to post what your organization is, what your company is, you can go to vpr.org and click on Vermont Edition and let us know the name of your organization. Tony's calling in from Goshen. Tony, what about you? What's your perspective?
Tony from Blueberry Hill in Goshen. Basically, I'm looking at this $5 million funding for in-state promotion when the state promotion budget is just over $3 million. Why spend this money now? Let's have a major, major blitz, advertising blitz for the fall. In many ways, you know, the summer business is almost gone. So let's spend all this money in trying to promote international tourism, which will open up by then, hopefully, and the fall business.
Yeah, Tony, good luck to you at Blueberry Hill. Thank you for sharing your perspective. Appreciate that. Nicole is with us from Walcott. Nicole, how about you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had a question about maybe the tourism commissioner might be able to speak to this, but for the folks who own a lodging business, could they be maybe certified to be quarantine-able or quarantine-ready? And maybe they could serve as a place for people who are coming into state to quarantine for 2 weeks. And offers them some money also. Offers us some reassurance that people are actually quarantining.
Yeah, Nicole, interesting question. What about it, Commissioner Pelham? Could inns and Airbnbs and restaurants and hotels rather be a place where people certify that they're quarantining and the place itself says, yes, I'm willing to take people to quarantine?
I think it's an interesting idea, and I would be happy to review that with the team from the Department of Health and Department of Public Safety. I'm not an epidemiologist, so I can't answer that question. But, you know, I love the fact that people are really thinking about what can they do in the short term to make sure that, you know, they still are in business for when we can welcome visitors back to the state.
Let's get another voice in here from Beth Kennett. Beth is the owner of Liberty Hill Farm and Inn in Rochester. Hi, Beth. Nice to talk with you.
Hi, Jane. Thanks so much for having me on. I am thrilled to be able to talk about this. I really support Commissioner Pelham and the remarks that she's made earlier, and definitely support Valerie up there in Stowe. Here at Liberty Hill Farm, we've been offering a farm vacation to guests from all over the world for the last 36 years. I usually will provide lodging and meals. However, recently, last fall, my daughter-in-law started doing farm tours, and of course, those shut down with COVID-19. But we are looking at being able to provide those again later on after June 15th, after things start opening up. The cool thing about Rochester is we are exactly in the center of the state. If you take a map of Vermont and fold it north, south, east, and west, you'll find Rochester right in the middle, right on Route 100, which in years past has been considered one of the most scenic highways in the United States. So I would encourage all of your listeners, all of Vermonters, to come and rediscover the beauty and the amazing place in which they live. It's, you know, I know that a lot of us say, well, Vermonters don't need to come and visit Vermont. You know, they're here. But, you know, what's amazing is we hype our fall foliage. Yesterday, I was looking at the spring foliage, and you see all those flowering trees, and the lilacs are in bloom, and there's marsh marigolds along the roadsides. Spring foliage is amazing. And I think if you want to do something really cool as a Vermonter, the best social club in the world right now for you is the 251 Club.
You know, Heather Pelham, you should sign Beth Kennett up right now for whatever your next marketing campaign is. She's got the whole state down here, plus scenic Route 100, which is such a beautiful road to travel up and down the state in. You know, and this ability to market Vermont to Vermonters. You know, Beth, you're doing it. A lot of Vermonters said, I know Vermont, I don't need to be told about it. But here you are saying, you might need to be told about some of it.
You really might. And the other cool thing, you know, from my dairy farm perspective, of course, we're members of the Cabot Creamery Cooperative. So go have a picnic lunch, find all the waterfalls, and make sure you take some Cabot cheese with you for your picnic.
Yes, the waterfalls along Route 100, I can attest, really pretty amazing. That's Beth Kennett. Beth, I'm gonna leave it there because we've got a lot of other people to talk with as well. But I think you basically just did the Vermont in-state marketing campaign there. So thank you.
You're quite welcome, James.
That's Beth Kennett, owner of Liberty Hill Farm and Inn in Rochester, also doing farm tours, not just for overnight visits. While we're talking 251, let's go to Richard, who's calling in from Wells River. Richard, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm good.
You want to talk about the 251 Club?
Yeah, it's funny that it was just mentioned. Somebody wrote in and said, well, there didn't need to be advertising to promote Vermont because everybody knew what was already here if they lived in Vermont. But I don't think people do. And the 251 Club, which is, you know, just visit all 251 club towns and cities in Vermont. And there's a website, and they have a town map so you can plot your progress. And they have a journal that you can buy with every town listed so you can make notes on your visit. And what a great way to spend some money around Vermont and see these little places that you never go to.
Are you a member of the 251 Club, Richard?
I am a dues-paying member. I don't have anything official to do with the club. It's just something I've been to all 50 states, so now I'm setting my sights on 251.
Well, good luck, and I hope you make some progress this summer and in your sort of stay in Vermont summer. The 251 Club, of course, sort of you can be a member of the actual club, but the idea is you go and visit all of Vermont's 251 towns. Heather Pelham, I mean, that's something that I imagine the Department of Tourism would be encouraging Vermonters to do, to really get out, whether you're staying in an inn or not, to just get out and explore your home state.
Absolutely. And that's what those are the types of ideas and resources that we've tried to put together for folks on the VermontVacation.com website. When this crisis first broke, we turned our attention to all the things that Vermonters could do virtually. We have a virtual Vermont section just to make sure that people understood what they could see at the Montchartre Museum, for instance. And now we are transitioning those resources to the different ways that people can get out in the state. And the 251 Club is a great example. I would also call out the Venture Vermont program, which is run by Vermont State Parks, which is geared more toward kids, where they can earn points by doing different activities like hiking or camping, or show themselves a picture, making marshmallows over the fire, those kind of activities. So there's lots of ways to use a little tool to make sure that you keep pushing yourself to find something new to do tomorrow.
We got a note from Kitty who says, we decided to use our stimulus money to support our local food economy. Besides donating to our local soup kitchen, we have supported a mail order cheese company, joined a local farm CSA for the first time, and ordered local poultry as well. Supporting agriculture supports Vermont tourism. Before we go, though, Commissioner Pelham, I mean, it does seem like it's a little bit in conflict to be supporting and encouraging Vermonters to go out and about, go to these places, see parts of Vermont, with what we know to be true about preventing the spread of the disease, that staying closer to home, not going out in public where there might be large gatherings, all of these things that we're supposed to do to stay safe, how do we do them both?
Well, we do need to be careful. We need to follow all the guidance that is available. I would encourage folks to wear masks when they are out in public. We know that that's a sign of respect for those around us, so that we do all stay safe. And to follow the rules, to not congregate in large groups, and to really try and find a place where you can create that great experience on your own in a safe way. And it's really about what you feel comfortable with that social distancing. And then when you are with other folks nearby, is to show that respect to them as well.
Heather Pelham is the Commissioner for Vermont's Department of Tourism and Marketing. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.